Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, real quick before we hop into today's episode, wanted to let you know that the last 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge of 2022 is upon us. It is December 7th through the 13th. You can head to the show notes for more information. Click the link challenge.thefastingforlife.com/registration. Yes, the last challenge of the year is here. The next challenge is not until February 1st of 2023. So if you've been thinking about it, now is the time. Don't miss out. You can not only get massive momentum in your weight loss and health journey starting 2023, but you can get results now. Strategically place this challenge right between Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. So we hope to see you on the inside. Head to the show notes, click the link, and now to today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir. Happy post-Thanksgiving. We are in the holiday season officially. Happy holidays to you, sir. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas is right around the corner. How are you doing today?
Right. I'm doing great. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. You got me on that intro, you know? It threw me a curveball right there. So yeah, doing great. And I love this time of year, and I love how it integrates with the fasting lifestyle. But there's so many things that can come our way, and so many things that we can like do better than we did in years past, right? Like, oh man, I just love this time of year now. I didn't used to feel that way.
No, agreed. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. That's why I started with the curveball of an introduction around the holidays. So Thanksgiving's in our rearview mirror. Christmas is right around the corner. We've got New Year's. It seems like Halloween was decades ago. And the reality is like you said, we can make a lot of great progress during this time of year, lose weight, feel good, stick to our goals, and not feel like we're completely missing out on everything. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And some conversations that we've been having in and outside of the VIP coaching group and the previous challenges and some of the feedback that we've been getting on some of the trainings and lives and content that we've putting out in the community group, et cetera. So there's a few threads that we want to go through today. First and foremost, welcome to all of the new listeners. If this is one of your first few episodes or first time you've come to listen, we truly appreciate you giving us a chance. If you want to learn more about our journey and how we ended up here 150 plus episodes in, 2.5 years strong, regaining our life through the tried and true art of fasting and how we turned fasting into a lifestyle. Feel free to head back to episode 0, episode 1, learn more about who we are and why we do what we do. To all of you long-term listeners, we truly appreciate you continuing to be on this journey with us. If you feel inclined, please drop us a review. We, of course, prefer the 5-star kind.
Love them. Love them,
right? They are our favorite. They tell the Facebook gods that we, the podcast gods that we are doing something right and providing value.
Yeah, they probably talk.
Who knows? I don't even want to talk about that. But it just tells whoever's in control of all the stuff behind the scenes that you can hear us live now whenever you press the play button. It shows that we're bringing some value to the community because there's a lot of podcasts out there. So we truly are grateful, especially this time of year, you know, with Thanksgiving just in the rearview mirror. We are grateful that you guys have chosen to join us and give us a shot. So the holidays, what a slippery slope and kind of framework that we've been fed our entire life around the holiday season. Yeah. Okay. So we've done episodes in the past. If you want to go back and check out some of the other episodes that are around how to manage the holidays, how to manage life events, how to manage special occasions like this. We've done multiple podcast episodes on it, typically around this time of year, because we want to give you some structure and some actionable things, as you heard in our intro with the catchy music, that we want to give you an actionable thing that you can do today to continue on your fasting journey and building that fasting lifestyle. So, we have been told And one specific episode, we went into the research on it that, you know, oh, the holiday weight gain. Oh, the new year, new you, the new year's resolutions.
Yeah.
You're going to see it. You're going to see the weight loss testimonials, you know, being spewed all over the place. The before and after photos, the I lost 63 pounds on this program. And then in tiny little print, it says the average weight loss was 6.2 pounds.
Results not typical.
Yeah, results not typical, right? So we really want to be honest and truthful about what you can accomplish this time of year. So Tommy, I know you had mentioned this, and this is the starting point I want to launch with, is the difference between previous holidays and this holiday season, the potential that lies in there if you're new to fasting, or if this is the first time you're going into the holidays with a fasting mindset, or if you're now going into the holiday season number two, and you're comparing it to previous of how you would handle the holidays and the events and the Christmas parties and the gatherings and the additional opportunities for consumption and indulgence, right? You get to sit back and compare how this, and for you guys that have been through it already, pre-fasting lifestyle to fasting lifestyle, and how you manage your diet and weight loss and mindset is really powerful around this time of year.
Yeah, there really is like a potential for a big shift right there. Because like thinking back, the newer you are, the more likely you are to be, you know, remembering strongly about potentially counting calories, counting macros, fitting things within like a strict nutritional plan, potentially things like that, where that's really, really hard, if not kind of impossible to do if you have, you know, gatherings or celebrations and things like that. It can kind of be so much like too much to track almost, or too many things that are like, maybe it's too many temptation foods or desserts or things that you tend to overindulge with. It can kind of be like, let's throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. Like, I'm just going to be off for this week or for a couple of days. Or sometimes it turns into longer than you'd expect, like the holiday season. Like we've seen people, you know, just get derailed for the whole holiday season. Then it can be really tough to like pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get back on track.
Yeah. And that's kind of the starting point. So we had a couple of conversations that have become threads, thought threads or conversation threads in our Fasting for Life ecosystem. And the first one came in and it was framed in a way that I thought was interesting that could lead to a really cool conversation. So it was someone who said, hey, life's kind of jumped up and nipped me in the bud. I've been MIA, obviously paraphrasing here, from fasting for a few months. I was doing incredibly well. Sickness had life take over, kind of fell off the wagon. Like you said, baby out with the bathwater. I want so badly to get back on before the holidays, but I've been struggling to re-engage.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to stay focused on your goals and the journey, but so easy once you are back into the routine? Any tips to help me get back on track? So there's a couple of threads here that are really powerful. And she alludes to what we were just kind of talking to, Tommy, is that this microcosm of the holidays is not this end all be all kind of, oh, if you don't succeed these few months, then, you know, your journey's over, just give up. You're just going to be overweight and or have health concerns or just be stuck forever.
Yeah. Or feel like fasting didn't work.
Right.
On to the next thing.
And getting off of that dieting mindset, right? So like anything else, if you work it or if you build it, they will come, right? Like the results will come if you continue to work the system. So disconnecting and re-engaging our mind is the most important thing that we're going to start with talking about. But if we look at what the research shows, is that the holiday weight gain isn't as big as a contributor to weight gain over decades of life and to things like the issues, the health issues that come with the weight, which is what we talk a lot about, the insulin resistance, the hormone imbalances, the cardiometabolic issues, diabetes, blood sugar related issues, et cetera, all of those comorbidities or health concerns that come with carrying that extra weight for all those years. It's the consistent actions throughout the year that matter more. So we're going to zoom out to kind of what you would do regardless of when this happens, when you're trying to re-engage, and then talk about what to do and what not to do if you're framing out, let's say, a Thanksgiving week, or framing out, because I know that just passed, or framing out a Christmas week, right? So let's start with those four points that we had and really where to begin to to re-engage and kind of ramp yourself back into what was working when it was working so well for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take it back just one step, which is the fact that if and when you kind of find yourself just kind of meandering, just kind of like wandering off the track that was working, the initial step is the realization that you're doing something like you're way over here on left field, in left field, like you're not on the track that
chasing
you wanted
butterflies.
To be. Yeah. You're kind of chasing the butterflies, but sometimes you're kind of in another world. You don't really realize it sometimes. So shortening the time gap that it takes to realize that I'm not doing what I want to be doing intentionally, and then saying to myself, okay, time to get back on track, right? And that's where this question kind of started. So that would be like step -1 or step 0. And then like, so step 1, I feel like, is kind of simplifying to get back to the basics and then going, okay, where is my mindset? What was helping me in the past with a focused mindset? Like in this case, it's about fasting, right? And so that might be listening to an episode of the podcast, doing something that helps you kind of get in the right frame of mind, and then going, okay, I'm not going to do anything else until I literally go back and, you know, listen to one full episode, or maybe it's listen to 3 full episodes over 3 days. And then I'm going to put off something else that I would enjoy doing, or I would normally give myself the bandwidth to kind of go do as like a distraction. So that's a discipline piece right there, but it doesn't have to take that much time, but I know that it's going to help get me in the right frame of mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what I've heard first is the realization that, okay, I'm off track.
Yeah.
Virtual hug, pat yourself on the back. It's okay. Happens to everybody.
Yeah.
How do we get you quickly back in? What I just heard you describing there is putting you first, whoever you are in this situation. Yeah. If you're Sarah here, or if you're John, or if you're Mike, or if you're Fred, my dad, like whoever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting you first, taking those few minutes, that little bit of time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, getting into that fasting mindset is so important. Mm. It's no different than, you know, if you're like, all right, I'm going to start working out again, but then you don't put out your workout clothes or change into your workout gear, and you're going to go try to run a mile in winter jackets and, you know, jeans and cowboy boots. Yeah. Like, you're not in the right framework. You're not in the right gear. You're not in the right outfit for that to actually be successful and enjoyable, right? So, I use cowboy boots. We're here in Texas. It dropped below 50 degrees. So everybody's got their winter gear out here.
Oh, yeah, of course. Freezing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Double layered socks and boots. Right. That's my favorite, but there's no snow, so no complaints. So putting you first, whatever that looks like for you to get in that mindset, if it's a little bit of planning, if it's whatever that is, the podcast, going to, you know, YouTube, listening to an audio, whatever, however you get, no different than if you practice meditation, you know, the days that I do it consistently, those days are better overall.
Yeah.
Like empirical data shows, like if you want to ignore the empirical data that meditation doesn't work because you think it's hokey, then fine. But the data is proof. And I am living proof now that if I do it, I'm like, oh, wow, I feel better. But if I never sit down in a quiet room away from the, you know, 3 little terrorists that we have in this house that we love dearly under 6 and the 3 dogs and the distractions and the phone and all of this stuff, then it never happens. So getting, that's so huge, putting you first and getting in that right mindset. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And then, you know, to take that a step further, you need to actually set yourself up so that you can protect that mindset so that you can re-engage with it daily. So maybe like set yourself one thing that I need to do to go, yeah, you know what? That's going to help kickstart me back into the right mindset. But then step 2, I need to say to myself, like, put it on my calendar. Okay, find this, maybe it's the slow time for you of the day, like put aside like 20 minutes, or maybe it's the time that's the toughest to like, to actually fast through. Like maybe it's the family dinner time, or maybe it's the lunch time, like, you know, hunger pangs, like stomach rumbling, that kind of thing. Well, then that would be your best time to go, I need to protect my mindset during that time. So let me go, okay, I'm going to listen to 1 episode of the podcast. I'm going to listen to 15 minutes of an audiobook. I'm going to take a walk every single day during that time. Like it doesn't have to be big, but it's set aside and it's very intentional. And I make sure that I'm committed to it. And I have a reminder that's going to go off every single day. So I have that protection of my mindset.
I literally sat in the car when I used to be in clinical practice. I've seen hundreds of patients a day. I would sit in my car and get my mind right. Just listen to country music. Sometimes it was a podcast. Sometimes it was silence just before I went in. to show up differently for my wife and the kids. Like it was just that little bit. So don't do anything else. Please, 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 please do not be like, all right, I'm going to get back on track by doing a 72-hour fast and set your timer.
Yeah.
If your mindset
thought that too.
Yep. isn't right for that, then it's not going to work. And if you're sitting here listening, well, I've been doing OMAD, but now I really can't. OMAD's not really working for me. I'm opening up my window. I'm not making it to my window. Right. Because the framework, just imagine, picture me running in two layers of winter jackets, two layers of pants, thermals, and cowboy boots. And I'm out there trying to run a mile. Like, it's not going to be enjoyable and it's not going to happen. I'm like, no, this is terrible. My feet hurt. I'm giving up. So don't do anything else until you give yourself, you have the realization that, okay, it's happening. I'm ready to, let's do it and get in that mindset, whatever that looks like for you. And what I'm hearing there, Tommy, is really the third point, which would be like really getting back to the basics and like setting your timer with a little bit of intention.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about an incredible company called Air Doctor Pro. You can go to airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off one of their amazing air filters. By supporting them, you're supporting us and this show. I want to tell you an incredible testimony. We now know that the indoor air is 2 to 5, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air, according to the EPA. And my son has been struggling with sleep. He hasn't slept. He's over 2 years old. He hadn't slept through the night his entire life. My wife and I had done everything. We could not figure it out. We put an Air Doctor Pro in his room, and I am not kidding. The first night he slept through the night. He went over 30 nights in a row for the first time ever, sleeping through the night. We don't know what it did or what was in the air because we've had our house tested. But whatever it's doing is allowing him to rest and sleep peacefully for the first time. And for that, it is absolutely priceless. Air Doctor Pro comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Minus shipping, head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off any of their air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers. You'll also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in the special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE.
Like, even if your habits haven't been great lately, like let's say I kind of slid
check
back.
The box.
Yeah, maybe I've been doing OMAD and that was going well. And then all of a sudden, my meal started to become a window, started to open up a little bit. Maybe I found myself doing 2 meals a day, but I still have long-term fat stores that I'd like to tap into. So giving myself a very hard time to actually tap into those, insulin levels are staying high the whole day. Maybe even I backslid into 3 or 4 eating opportunities in a day, even if it was something that absolutely I don't feel like I'm on track for fasting, right? Like, clear. You could still, just going into today, if you take the same thing that you did yesterday, you don't have to change a single thing except add in your fasting timer today. That means I just made multiple votes for my subconscious brain that I am a faster. I am fasting, even if I'm eating more often than I'd like to. You can work on that as like step two, but set the timer first. After we got the mindset right, then put in the timer. It's a very simple habit, but it goes a long way for that simplification and for the ability to not have to change everything all at once, even in order to like get things right and get things moving in the right direction.
I wonder how many phrases I can, you know, put in here, but Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So it's the consistency over the entire calendar year that matters. And not so much because it's the holidays, but we get so hyper-focused because of our recent failures or our dieting mentality or failed patterning of losing, gaining, stuck, losing, gaining, stuck, frustration, on, off, dieting mindset, right? So from what you just said, setting the timer, you then can make 2 small changes from that alone. And this is how we start to stack those habits and those positive votes again. Is you can then say, all right, well, I'm going to move my one meal an hour later.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You have 2 positive votes. I'm going to make 1 better intentional decision for a nutrition opportunity rather than a fast food debauchery.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not saying fast food is, you know, the devil and you should never eat it.
Right.
We got to enjoy our life. Like, life without Chick-fil-A is torture, right? I only eat it like once or twice a year, but it's there and it's part of it, right? So it's like, you can make 1 better, just set the timer. But then from there, it's not a big leap to push my window by an hour, make one better nutrition decision.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You're a lot closer than it felt, right? You're a lot closer to being on track than it felt like in that moment when you're going, the last 3 months.
Why can't I re-engage?
Yeah. And I've been off the rails for the last 3 months. Right. And then you feel like you want to rip all the band-aids off at once, set that 72 hour timer. And like, but oh man, like more often than not, we see it not going well. Right. Yep. And then that just leads to more of the negative psychology and more of the like looking back. I can't change what happened over the last couple of months. I can only make the next best decision in the moment. So how do I get back on track as quickly as possible and do it in a way that has momentum, not just a flash in the pan. And so to go along with those things, reinforcing also the last point, which would be a holiday week is not the best time to like try to change everything all at once too, because then that can just be more of the volatile. I'm trying to do everything completely opposite here, but then I'm also like to be that on or that off, and then have a holiday, which is going to be potentially the most like it can be the most eating opportunities, overindulgent types of foods everywhere. I mean, I've been to some holiday celebrations where it was just. I could have brought in thousands of calories of and like have the highest insulin response like that I would ever imagine, really. And then, but be over there, be in that environment for enough hours to do it multiple times potentially in a day and like regret it / enjoy it / pay for it for the next couple of days, feel like I'm off track, and then have a really, really heck of a time like trying to get myself back on.
The sweet spot for the holidays, because I heard a couple of things in there. The sweet spot for the holiday week is not to just push it off and say, oh, I'll start after the holidays.
Yeah.
And it's not to go crazy hard and restrict and omit everything and be like, I'm going to be the willpower master this week.
I'm fasting through
Thanksgiving and be like, not sustainable is my first red flag, right? Yeah. And I always joke around this, but why? Okay, why did I make that decision? But why? Like my toddler. But why? Mm-hmm. But why? But why? But why? But why? So ask yourself this question, but why? So when you make a decision, good or bad, don't even label it. Just be like, but why did I make that decision?
Yeah.
Why did I? And that starts to tap into the emotional side of things, which is building that healthy relationship and confidence around food. Because we didn't get into the situation where I was 50 plus pounds overweight, 12 pounds of visceral fat, big, strong man in the off season belly.
Yeah.
But I carried it well because I was always the big guy, right? Blood sugar numbers off the rails, but not diagnosable, but still really bad. Yeah. Blood pressure ticking up, feeling like crap, tired, miserable all the time, right?
Yep.
Back in the day. We didn't get there by having a healthy relationship or decision making process around our food choices.
Sure.
Some of it, our own fault by our decisions, some of it handed down to us, some of it, you know, spewed upon us, right? All around us in the convenience and the marketing that we have, right?
Yeah.
So this time of year, don't push it off and just say, oh, I'll start in December, because that's that old dieting pattern, or don't go too hard. So the sweet spot is actually in the middle. And this leads us to a question that came in was like, well, going into a holiday, what do I do? Right. So if you've got, let's say Thanksgiving just passed, right? So if you've got multiple opportunities during Thanksgiving week, then you need to put some intentional planning. But through Christmas, you might have, growing up, we went to two different grandparents' houses. We had our home Christmas and breakfast. And then we also went to our aunt's house. Mm-hmm. So those are just four opportunities, and Christmas parties, neighbors, all of this stuff, right? And it's very focused around the cookies and the cakes and the dinners and the hand-me-down recipes and all that stuff needs to be enjoyed. But during a week of celebration or a holiday week, you know, the question came in is like, is it better to do a long fast and break the fast with the actual celebratory meal, like with Christmas dinner? Is it good to fast for 42 hours going into Christmas dinner? If you're a beginner, the answer is no. Or should you treat the holiday like Christmas or Thanksgiving as another OMAD day? And just have a one meal with like a 2 hour type window, right? And then you have to think about, well, what's the food selection? Am I bringing something that I can overindulge in or indulge to a comfortable level in that I'm going to feel good about? Mm. So that's where we talk about recipe swaps or food swaps. Or, hey, I'm bringing the mashed potatoes and you guys don't need to know that I put some healthier stuff in here this year.
Right.
Because they still taste good. All right. Yeah. It's like when we hide vegetables in our pasta sauce for our kids when we make the bonza pasta.
Right.
They don't know that there's like all their servings of vegetables and those meatballs in that pasta
sauce. Don't
tell
them it's chickpeas. Yeah.
They don't know. Okay. You don't need to know.
Yeah.
Right. I always joke my mom puts different stuff in some of the old recipes that we used to eat growing up. Now that my dad's reverses diabetes, come off 14 medications, no longer on insulin, no longer a diabetic after 30 years. My mom's putting stuff in some meals. He doesn't ask. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's 72 years old. If you're listening to Dad, I love you. And I'm proud of you for making that change, right? Because now you get to see your grandkids for more years than you were on the path for.
That's awesome.
And we're grateful for it. But this microcosm of the holiday kind of recipe for disaster is looking at the timing. Should you break your fast going right into the celebratory meal? And then what are you putting in your window? And, you know, control what you can control, right? So
yeah.
Tell yourself before you go in that you're not going to graze the whole time, that you're going to put some loose but doable boundaries, and then think about how you feel about those decisions.
Yeah.
And then no matter what happens, think about how you feel after the event's over and how you performed. Because for me now, there are certain foods that I don't eat Mexican food. I don't like going to Mexican restaurants. I don't eat it because I don't like the way I feel. And I'm not talking about going off the reservation, eating two bowls of chips and all that stuff and margaritas, margs, you know, half frozen, half not. There's a place here locally that, oh my goodness, all you need is one because they're so strong. And then, you know, the whatever dessert and then the fajita combo pack, right? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making a good, healthy, you know, protein and fat focused meal. And I still don't like the way I feel after I eat that. So I don't eat it anymore because I don't like it. So this holiday season, you've got your timing, which is a component, you've got your strategy, and then you've got your nutrition opportunity or what you're going to be doing during that window as well.
Man, I love those points because you could literally take over, you could bring whatever you wanted as a dish if you needed to, because you had like very scrutinizing, you know, food critics that you are going to be around. Just, you know, make two bowls of the mashed potatoes, make a second dish. Like, it'll be worth it at least for you to have one that you go, I know I'm going to feel better coming out of this. That's going to be a lower insulin response. You know, maybe I just want to stay away from some of the ingredients, you know, that are in the usual suspect, you know, that everybody kind of, you know, still wants. You could definitely do that. And just the fact that setting that intention around like whatever your slippery slope might be, like for me, it would just be kind of grazing throughout the environment, the eating opportunity. It would be if I didn't set like a specific time window, like, hey, I'm going over to grandma's house. Let's say we're going to have Thanksgiving like lunch, but it's kind of like, you know, we might be hanging out over there for 4, 5, 6 hours, a lot of family around. So, you know, within that 6 hours, I'm probably going to pick probably about an hour, maybe an hour and a half max to be able to put, you know, whatever I'd like to kind of sample on. But I'm going to draw the boundaries around that so that I don't end up just kind of grazing for multiple hours, you know?
Yeah.
And then I wanna feeling it later.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the part, the feeling it later, right? So
yeah.
I want to make one thing clear is, and don't do a long fast and go right into the celebratory meal if you're hungry and ravenous. Just like if you're going out for a celebratory dinner for a graduation or a wedding or an whatever, just have a small protein dependent meal, something small before you arrive, because willpower will fade, your hormones, your ghrelin, your leptin imbalance, if it's there, it's going to really wreak havoc and you're going to potentially have the possibility of the overconsumption and the snowball effect. So
good point.
A little bit of planning goes a long way. I want to touch on one last thing for today, Tommy, is the how to handle the social aspect of the holidays. Because here's something that we hear quite often is, wow, you look great. You've lost so much weight, but you're not doing that fasting thing, right?
Not that crazy fasting.
... So no one cares.
What a double-sided, you know,
no one cares.
A veiled compliment.
They pretend to care, but they only want confirmation that what they do is okay.
Or don't do.
Yeah, yeah, they're looking for confirmation. That's what we are. We're selfish individuals, okay? I'm sorry.
Sure.
It's just talk to my wife, okay? That's how we're wired. We care a lot about survival and ourselves. And I'm not saying that, you know, little tongue in cheek there with family, but Nobody cares. So I would not encourage you to have the conversation of what you're doing around your air quotes diet. Don't talk about what you're doing, how you're doing. Now, if you've got a fasting buddy there, okay, go sneak outside and talk to them if they've adopted this lifestyle. But nobody knows your goals and your intention. Mm-hmm. So not to shy away or lie about it, but if somebody says, what are you doing? Be like, well, I would love to share it with you because I've been really working hard at this. I feel great. So thank you so much for noticing. But let's plan a time where we can, you know, where I can just tell you the whole story, because I'm really excited about being here and seeing everybody. And it's just not the right time. But thank you so much. I'm super excited about it. I really appreciate you noticing.
Yeah. Do you think anybody really wants your best dieting or nutrition advice at Thanksgiving when they're staring down the barrel of a pumpkin pie? Like, absolutely not.
No.
Nobody, they don't really want to hear that. But what they might want to do is derail or potentially shy away from or confirm their own hesitation.
Biases.
Towards fasting or something else like that, especially if they're not feeling great about their own results right then, which most people aren't. Most people, what they're doing right now is not working.
Yeah. And that's so huge, because that talks to where we started this conversation today. Was the reason why I absolutely love Thanksgiving. And some of these conversations have come up because obviously we just went through it, right?
Yeah.
Especially inside of the coaching group. So, but if I look back to the holidays when I was growing up, or when I was heavier, and I wouldn't look forward to it because I knew what I was going to eat, how much I was going to indulge, how I was going to feel about it. But I would always just justify it in a way that, oh, it's just the holidays. It's just, right?
Yep.
So for me now, I love going into the season because I know the levers that I can pull, right? In order to feel great, have those connections and those conversations and see the family and spend time with the loved ones and you know,
and enjoy the food too.
Yeah. And still enjoy myself without feeling all of that negative stuff that I used to feel. So
it's huge.
The important thing is focus on the experience, right? Over the food. And everybody focuses on the food, right? Like around the holidays.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's how society operates. But if you're going to get abnormal results and you're going to be 5% of the population that loses the weight and keeps it off for at least 2 years, right? So we're talking about sustainable weight loss, not the 75% of us here in the US that are overweight or obese. And again, not about just the weight, but about the health that comes with it. But if you're going to be that, then you have to do something different than everyone else.
Yeah.
So putting some intention into the holidays and just accepting the compliments, but deflecting the conversation and abiding by the first two rules of fasting is you don't talk about fasting and you don't talk about fasting. You can talk about fasting, right? On, you know, January 5th. Okay.
Right.
But not at Christmas Eve dinner.
Yeah. It's like, there's always going to be some, I'm doing something a little bit different. You know, so part of leaning into a fasting lifestyle and getting it right will mean that I'm having to lean into, you know, being a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes that is the deflection part of it, you know, where especially if you're not used to putting off a conversation or just having something that you don't want to dive into, especially during a holiday that's centered around food, you know, for the most part. It's like, no. Like, let's talk about something else right now. You know, like I really want to connect. I know where this might be going. I'd like to connect on something, you know, better than that. So that's okay. I think that's okay.
A little recap here is if this is your first holiday with a fasting lifestyle, keep it simple. Don't go too hard and don't push it off.
Yeah.
Put some intention into your windows, intention into your food, some soft boundaries so you can enjoy yourself, right? Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Avoid the conversations. If somebody says, well, you lost weight, what are you doing? Oh, I'm fasting. What? No, don't do it. Okay. If this is your second holiday and you've been adopting a fasting lifestyle and you're somewhere still on your journey, then I want you to reflect back on think back to the previous years of how you felt going in, because this year is going to be different. It absolutely is going to be different. I go in now with the confidence that I'm not only going to be able to maintain the changes, but I'm still going to be able to make some really good progress during this 60 or 90 day period where it starts with Halloween and goes all the way through the, you know, the New Year hangover, right? Where people start to come back out of their shells in the second and third weeks of January when life gets back to normal and vacations are over and all that kind of stuff. So,
or maybe after Valentine's Day, or maybe then like spring break. Right.
Or maybe
like
after the next birthday, or the wedding that we have in the spring. Or that vacation we're taking. Right. So I also want to give a shout out to everyone, because I know we talk a lot about the holidays. So if you are not celebrating with family, if you are flying solo, if you've had loss or grief around this time of the year, and that's something that pulls you back and there's sadness or emotions that come with that, I really want to encourage you to do something for you, because you are worth it. Yeah. That this journey does not need to be done alone. Go to our Facebook community group, drop some posts, listen to the podcast, send us an email. The Facebook community group is an awesome place to go, because it's all people of like mind in the fasting lifestyle. So we also want you guys to know that
you are connected.
You are connected, right, in this process, because isolation is one of those things that can further that emotional connection with food. Yeah. So we really want you guys to know that as well. And Tommy, as we wrap up today's conversation, tomorrow, okay, is the last, the start tomorrow. Like, in 24 hours, okay, or approximate, whenever this gets released, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is the start of the last 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge of 2022, okay?
So excited.
So today is December 6th. Tomorrow is December 7th. We are starting at 11 a.m. inside of the group. And yes, I am dangling the carrot. I have no shame in my game. We want you guys to feel supported and to get results and not push it off until after the beginning of the year. Yes. So this is your chance. If any of this resonated with you, if you've had these thoughts, if Thanksgiving went great or didn't, you want to continue the momentum or you want to start it, now is the absolute time. Head to the show notes, click the link. It'll bring you to the registration page. Every single day we'll be live in the group. We'll be answering questions. We have resources, recipe packs, fasting schedules. An incredible, we bring you inside of our private VIP coaching group, where you are you are with people that have reached their goals, are maintaining their goals, all the way back to beginners and everything in between. We're in there live multiple times a week, but during the challenge, literally every single day, twice a day, we go live and then we have a watch party, and we are with you every step of the way. So I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity, Tommy. And hopefully today's conversation will be actionable for most of you. Yes. So, Tommy, as always, appreciate the conversation, sir. We are going to see everyone that's listening right now that takes the action, right? That little decision to go click the link and sign up. We'll see you in the group tomorrow at 11 a.m. If not,
absolutely. Make it a great holiday season.
Exactly.
All right.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Thanks,
Merry Christmas. See ya. So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.